SBS Radio.
Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and I'm in conversation with Brendan Adams, journalist with Wilcannia River Radio, to update us on the situation in Wilcannia, where COVID-19 has spread in the local Aboriginal community. Brendan, what are the latest developments in Wilcannia?
The COVID at the moment's been kind of handled pretty well by our communities. We've had a lot of great support from our local, regional, and of course Australia wide with our donations and support. Both the local community and government is kind of now working a lot more better in the infrastructure of supporting our people with COVID positive or close contacts. So there's been great outcomes coming out of that. Even though the COVID is still climbing, we've got a lot of recovery. I think we're over about 109 recoveries now. So that's a very strong positive sign and everything. However, only a couple of days ago, there has been a loss in the far west with our first Aboriginal person who actually passed away in Broken Hill. So there is still a little bit of sadness now because of a loss of an elder.
Yeah, very sad to hear about the loss of an elder in the community. Yeah. Were they vaccinated?
I believe they would have been. They're part of our Wilcannia community, but they were living in a Broken Hill. You know, hopefully our community in Broken Hill are all doing their vaccination, double vaccination. But however, due to our order, I don't know if he was. You know, only we'll be able to find out a little bit later.
A very, very big loss for the community. And I hear the army has been deployed to support the population in Wilcannia and surrounding areas. What type of support are they providing?
You know, they're continuing doing their primary role, which was, you know, to go to the houses of the people that have been either close contact or infected by the virus, just checking on, see their needs, support, making sure that they've got their medical needs and there's food for, just to make sure that they've been very compliant with the lockdown restriction. But as well, the Army has supported our local volunteers in delivering food and other needs, medical needs from the chemist or the hospital as well. So they've been very active in those roles, and it's been a real good support for our community to see that. So they're not here with that sort of like authority position, you know, with the local police, just to do the compliance. They're here as well to support.
Now, remote towns usually operate with limited resources, and with an outbreak of COVID-19 and now a fatality, the resources must be even more stretched than ever. Can you paint us a picture of the medical services in Wilcannia and surrounding townships?
You know, I'm currently empathising with, you know, they've had to continue travelling from Broken Hill, which is a 200-kilometre distance, then do their role in either vaccinations, drive-by, or travelling around just to make sure people have been tested, as well as, you know, there are spots by the in the community where people can go and drive by and get themselves tested as well. So they have been doing a lot. When people think that we're, you know, getting support, we do not get the number of support. It's just the people that are here have been committed. So we're not, we haven't got like 20, 30 people at in Wilcannia that are doing it. There's only the local health practitioners and, of course, those ones that have travelling. So we've got around about 10 that's doing a lot of hard work.
The mental health situation of the people, because even in any community, being struck by a crisis like this one, it affects people in a way that's not visible. How is the situation there in Wilcannia at this moment?
It's really well that you did ask that question, because although you can have all the support and the needs, such as food, their medical and sort of like that moral support. The mental well-being of our people is a very big struggle. You know, you got to remember, being in a small community and as First Nations people, we are social inclusive. So we have always played a large role in our family lives by, you know, young people being there for the elders giving us that wisdom and encourage and, you know, strength and the spirituality. You know, we have our parents, you know, looking after not just their sons and daughters, but their nephews and nieces and sometimes even to your grandkids. So we have that really strong connection. So being locked down means you are dividing that connection. You are dividing our way of culture. That really impacts on us. For our young people, I know how much it impacts on them as well, because you know, before COVID hit and the normal way of life, it's good to see kids walking out the streets together. There'd be six or seven of them minimum, you know, walking together. They either got a footy in their hands or they got some, you know, kind of, you know, soccer ball, even golf sticks, because they love playing golf out here and everything. And they would head up to the golf course. They can't do that. So our young people are missing that connection they have with their peers. And they're told to lock down, you know, and they weren't told to lock down gradually. It was right now, restrictions, bang, down. So you're trying to suppress thousands and thousands of years of ways of how people live to say, now we actually have to now discipline and stop ourselves. So our people, young and old, are suffering a lot of that. And this is where, you know, domestic violence rises. This is where depression and suicide thoughts have come in effect. But also too, you know, when the impact of the COVID came, it came, you know, when we were trying to cry out to the government to prevent this, you know, we were crying out. So we also got a lot of that anger and, you know, frustration that's hit as well, because government didn't answer till the impact has spread to our community. So there's a lot of, you know, social and emotional well-being we actually really need to look after, you know, with our people. Because as a community, you know, we're not used to having 6-7 weeks of being disconnected from each other. So it's a big issue for our families.
Yeah, and the families are affected because the households are usually large. And how are they coping also with these lockdowns, no services, low income? It must be really very difficult on people.
That's right, because Kenya, we're not the only community, you know, that it's impacted. You know, our families from Walgett, Ingonia, Burke, Dubbo, Rewarrinam, Menindi, a lot of these communities, you know, have overcrowding crisis, social housing crisis, for not just months, we're talking about for years, you know, and for Wilkinia in particular, we have wanting social housing issues to be solved. And if the government addressed it, you know, when we were, you know, crying out for it, we wouldn't even have the amount of COVID, you know, in our community, because normally we're averaging 12 people per house. And that means, you know, that once one young person or an older person walks into that house, the young babies are affected, the children, the youth, the men and the women, and then our elders and our vulnerable people have been a target and affected because they all live in one house. So we have 12 people in one day that can be affected. And if we had our social housing sold or addressed, you know, then we wouldn't have 12 people living in a house. We could only have 4. And that would have started minimizing the amount of people being affected in our community and the way it's affected and impacted. To this day, you know, these are the issues that we have identified, because we knew that once the COVID would come, because of the overcrowding and the social and emotional well-beings of our people, that it would spread through like wildfire, and it has. The next step is, where do we go from here? The overcrowding has been highlighted and addressed, but, you know, at the moment we got supported by having these mobile homes come into our community. Now, although they are there for an immediate effect to help us, and it's been wonderful, those motorhomes would end up leaving our community, and we are going to come back to the housing crisis. With that, we got to also expect a second wave of the COVID coming again. These are the issues that we got to look at and we've got to address, and we need solutions, and not just short-term solutions like those camp events. We need long-term solutions like getting houses made or even getting demandable homes here so we can look after our young families in particular.
Yeah, definitely, because the camper vans would be driven in and then driven out. And the situation that's COVID has highlighted, actually, this situation brings out an underlying really lack of services and lack of infrastructure.
Yeah, and that's it. And, you know, and when Mr. Hazard came out and came out to the community, he saw the effects. Now, the health and the state and Commonwealth have, or federal, have got a responsibility to act on. Well, you know, we're not looking for handouts. We're looking for a solution so that our people can live the same quality life that you get in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, in Dubbo, and all those larger areas. We deserve the human rights. And when this COVID has hit us, not only our rights have been taken away as cultural people, but we were ignored by the government's failure to address these situations in our prevention process. And as you said, are they going to ignore it once we kind of overcome this COVID issue and then come back to the same kind of life that we've had before COVID hits? With overcrowding, with poor health, with poor education because of those things, and not to mention our men and women not having jobs because we've got high unemployment. And with that, this when you've got your drugs and alcohol issues and depression, youth issues and everything as well. So, you know, everything really is a large avalanche when it comes to our community when government doesn't see what our people have to face on a daily basis.
Yeah, in one word, it can be summarized as just neglect. Now, anything you'd like to add before I let you go? Because I know you're busy also helping and volunteering and all that. Anything you'd like to add?
I would like to address all of our deadly families out there in all of Australia, from communities to regional to our urban city areas. The cure to this COVID is not getting just a double vaccine. It's not just being locked down, and it's not just continuously being tested. It's us. It's our decisions that makes the difference. It is us to make sure we get the vaccine done, make sure that we get the tested just to make sure that you stay negative. Do the lockdown. You know, it's very hard culturally to be away from our families, but if that's what it takes to get rid of this virus, then that's what we must do. So the vaccinations, the testing and all that, they are only to support us. The cure is our people to do the right thing. And I would love to, you know, spread that message, because this is what Kenya has suffered on a large scale. And we wish that we can keep all of our families safe and strong by making the right decisions. And I urge you, my mob, please, you know, it's up to you to do the right thing, and we will be the cure to get rid of this pandemic.
Brendan Adams, thank you so much for taking the time to update us on the situation in Wilcannia.
No problems, my brother. And you all look after yourselves, and it's wonderful with, you know, listening to you mob out there as well. Thank you.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.